What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield. Graduating from high school is a major milestone. So what's next? What does the future hold? Thousands of recent high school graduates are facing the givens of an anemic economy, few jobs, menial opportunities, and enormous competition. But according to a career coach and personal branding expert, there are savvy ways that graduates can land on two feet in this job market. Carol Kristen, what color is your parachute for teens? Adapts techniques for young folks just starting off on their career. She brings new vital information about what young people need to do to get the job they want. Carol, welcome to 411 Teen.
I'm just delighted to have the chance to talk with you about teen career development.
I'm glad to have you. I know we are really eager to hear what you have to say. In looking at the book, it's an interesting title. Is there any particular significance that we should know about it before we get started talking about it?
Well, the title comes from a book that was written originally in about 1970, mm-hmm. which was, it is the granddaddy of all time best-selling jobs book, What Color Is Your Parachute? And the publisher of that, the original publisher, was a man named Phil Wood, who had started 10 Speed Press in Berkeley. And he and I had had a conversation about the difficulties that young people were going to be facing as the world market changed. Mm-hmm. And so this was hopefully our contribution to say to people, heads up.
Now, you have adapted it for young folks, for teens, and those in college, and it addresses advice for them, correct?
Yes, as a matter of fact. I distilled the actual how do you know what you're good at, mm-hmm. Where you might use those skills, and how to get a job, which is the essence of what color is your parachute, what, where, and how. And that's in the first 40 pages. And then we explore through the rest of the book issues that are more focused. So mm-hmm. how do you make the most of high school? How do you make the most of college? How do you make a social media footprint that works for you, not against you? Those sorts of things.
It seems like, and I read the book, and I thought it was very well done, and it caught your attention, and it held it, and it didn't talk down to the kids or anything like that, because sometimes you'll get those kinds of books, and they will sort of talk down to them, but I think it held their attention. It kept them going. At least I found it to be interesting to read.
Thank you. I've had very, very good reviews from teens as young as 15 mm-hmm. who have actually read the book and used it, and they say, it was fun. Well, we love that, you know. I mean,
right.
It's sometimes it's a backhanded compliment, but that they finished it, and they now have a sense of direction mm-hmm. and a lessening of anxiety. So that, and that's exactly why I wanted it out there. We do not recognize in this country that career development is a body of knowledge mm-hmm. that is just as big and as complicated as a body of knowledge about, you know, being a social worker or
exactly.
calculus or any of those things.
Well, one thing I got from the book is that it seems like it is something that kids can benefit from, starting in 9th or 10th grade on up, because it helps you kind of identify yourself and look at things that you're interested in and understand that, you know, no matter what it is, it certainly has potential for a job.
That's right. That's right. We just don't know. There's so many new jobs popping up everywhere
mm-hmm.
that you don't write anything off. You just say, okay, these are the things that I'm doing when I really feel I'm my best. You know, I'm
right.
giving it all. And what kind of jobs can I do those things at? And this is the question. So we don't want anybody to approach it with fear. It's
mm-mm.
like, hey, this is the adventure of your life. Let's go find it.
Right.
And you know, let's find it first with something that can support you in your 20s, because someone will pay you to do what you know.
At what point does one start transitioning from student to employee? I mean, and this can happen in high school.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's one of the experiences that you find people like Tom Friedman and another top person in my field, Dr. Marty Nimco. He's saying, look, high school is about the only time when you're going to have all the time you need to explore the different things that interest you. So let's set aside some time. And again, make sure that what's appropriate for a ninth grader, you're not then asking, saying again, oh, let's revisit this as a 17-year-old. No, you need to be doing completely different things with your 17, 18, 19-year-olds than with, you know, a 14, 15, 16-year-old in that career development process.
However, you know, that interest that you had in ninth grade may have continued on into 11th grade. Senior.
Okay.
And that's what I'm talking about, tapping into that interest, right?
Right, right. And it's just, I never want people to be afraid, because they're not, you know, they may have a best friend that has known what they wanted to do since the third grade, and that friend does, in fact, end up doing that. And then everyone around them is going, oh my gosh, I have no idea. So it's to say to people, you know, really it's more normal not to know. And for you to try on, you know, it's like buying clothes.
Right.
You have to try on a fair number of outfits before you find the one that makes you really look good. And so jobs are just like that.
Decisions have to be made. And I liked how you handled that. I guess that was in the very first section of the book, where you talk about doing what you love to do and identifying things that you enjoy doing and things that you have a particular skill. Would you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. none of us can do our best work, best side forward, chances for success, if we're asked to do something that either we detest it or it's just not making us feel like we're stretching ourselves or whatever. And so where do you start? We start with interest. Mm-hmm. And then you overlay that with then what kinds of fields have jobs that are in my interest. And then you overlay that with what of those things do I want to either train for or I'm qualified to do now. And then finally you say, what's the marketplace offering as high demand jobs where I want to live? So this year in the book, for the first time, there are Venn diagrams, because we really want young people to know it's not just one thing. It's not just your interest.
Right.
It's, you know, who's going to pay you to use them and how. And that's a process of discovery, which is, again, that the whole issue of career development starts eighth, ninth grade, and mm-hmm. then it's one of those little, processes that you have to know mm-hmm. For the rest of your life and be able to use.
And what you're talking about is making decisions, because decisions have to be made about what direction you're going to go. If you're a college student who has just recently matriculated, you're looking at whether they are going to go to graduate school or are they going to go out and get a job. So how does one pursue their dreams when they're unsure about the direction that they want to take? You have any words of wisdom that you may offer those individuals who, you know, just feel like they don't know?
Well, the whole idea when you feel like you don't know is you don't have enough information.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to not only saturate the young person with information, but information about themselves. I've never yet had somebody say this is boring, because it's all about them. And it's
right.
One of the first times, it's very experiential based, because any decision, no matter what it is, needs information. The biggest reason young adults, can't make a decision is they don't have enough information usually. You know, there is the psychological corner of, I want the problem, but mm-hmm. we're not talking that with most young people. We're talking, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to build a bridge to my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been one of the crimes of our society of the last 35 years. We just waste our young people. And it's not to say that everyone who not wants to be the next Taylor Swift is going to, but it's saying, you know, if we don't let these young people tumble out of school at whatever age that is, before they then say, oh, how am I going to support myself? We can make people's careers, young people's careers, very, very different, very significant, mm-hmm. very enjoyable, and remunerative. But it takes planning.
Exactly. And I think it takes a particular open attitude of those adults who are in the position to advise students. And I think so much of counselors who still may be on a track where they direct students to go to college. Everybody doesn't have to go to college. And I like that particular aspect of your book, that, you know, college is not for everyone, okay? You might.
And it's not for everyone at 19.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
I hope everyone gets some sort of training post high school,
mm-hmm.
because that's where we know the good salaries and the jobs that are challenging and in demand, you know, they happen with some sort of training. But that's a wide continuum from 2 weeks intensive to getting your AA degree to learning on site. You know, there's just so many different ways to learn now. And you're totally right that a lot of information is being passed on as fact that is not, in fact, true.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the times, one of the hardest parts of someone who knows their career development is trying to say to people, you know, you don't know this. So would you like to take a listen to the best practices? And then let's have a conversation from there.
What you're really talking about, or at least what I hear you saying, is a realistic approach. You know, you have to have a very realistic approach. And I think that kind of covers it, because if you're realistic, you can handle it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let me ask you to just kind of hold your thoughts for a moment. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and I am talking with Carol Kristen. We are going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. This hour, I'm talking with Carol Kristen. She is a career coach. And Carol, I want to ask you, and I have a number of people told me to ask, how productive do you feel are job fairs? You know, they have them at the college level. You may even find them in the community when they're looking for individuals for various positions. How do you feel about job fairs?
It all depends if someone knows, again, how you use them, how you work
mm-hmm.
them. Who's there? Is it someone who's been in a department and is really kind of getting out, seeing what the young crop of applicants look like? Or more often, companies send the new hires, and they don't know that much about a company. So ask your questions. Don't be there just to show people your resumes. Be there to learn information, because one of the ways that people make the job hunt harder is they start in the wrong place. They
mm-hmm.
start without any research about themselves. What's the current job market? What are the trends? What are the challenges? If you don't sound like somebody who already works in that job or works in that industry or perhaps even works for that company, your chances of getting hired there are not good.
Right. And another component of an effective, I guess, career search is knowing what you don't like, too. I think it's very important. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, boy, is that fun. Any time we're inventing or trying to play with how do we get information X from someone, really the best way is you ask them what they don't like about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have to at some point turn that into positives. But the human stores more information about their experience in a negative form often than in a positive form. So if you untap, and this is why it's so fun to do a lot of this stuff in a group, because you say to people, okay, I'm going to pay you $50,000 not to get a job. Let's see how we do it. And then you make them prioritize the young people. You say, okay, what's the most important factor in not getting a job? And they're real clear. It's either you don't look or you don't know what you can do. So then you just build it out to positives from there. But, yeah, you are absolutely right. It's just that we can't leave it there in the negative.
Right.
Because
oh, no.
More, you know, where are we going rather than what are we trying to dodge?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, again, back to that realistic approach of knowing what you don't like or what you don't do well gives you a foot up. I mean, you're starting out. There's no need going into something or being encouraged. And I've seen this happen a lot to high school students, being encouraged to do something that you really aren't interested in or you aren't ready for. Because as we mentioned earlier, maybe at 19, you might need to take a year gap, okay, before going back into higher education, or maybe take 2 years, and that's okay. And I think so many students are in the track that when I graduate from high school, I have to go on to school, and that's not that important. Would you agree, disagree? Where do you say?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, I'm at the, I duck every time I say this, but one of my mentors is a man who is still teaching at Stanford in the adult learning and education division. His name is Dr. John Crumbold. And he has written, he's just a fountain of wealth for our career field, and he's written a number of things. But he says, there's almost no 19-year-old in this country who either knows themselves or the job market well enough to take advantage of a university education.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are exceptions to that, and I think those exceptions probably exist in the top 25 academic percent of every graduating class from high school. But we have been funneling an awful lot of people who were not ready for 4 years of something, but might have been ready for two years in an internship or some other much more experientially based kind of learning. And so we've got to, and again, most of that happens because the people who young people are listening to don't know about the local job market. And they're not clued into how you take someone really step by step, career ladder by career ladder, education by education ladder, to where they want to be. These young people are going to be working for 50 and 60 years. There's no need to tie into an expensive education when you have really no job history to pay it back.
Well, I wanted to commend you because one part of the book has tips for teens and young adults with ADHD. And I thought that was really very sensitive for you to at least acknowledge that. I wanted to ask you to expound on that. What kinds of tips or suggestions would you make for these individuals, these young folks who are maybe very, very qualified, but may have some problems with ADHD?
Well, the absolute best thing anybody ever does is find 8 to 10, 12, as many as they want.
Mm-hmm.
But people who are in an industry or a particular job that they are interested in, and you go chat those people up. And you say, okay, I'm having a little trouble getting in here, or I'm having a little trouble learning what's the best training route for me to follow. What do you think? And you have then a board of directors from who are successful, active, clued in, the know, and because you don't try and pull this thing out of the vacuum of your own, you know,
right.
head.
Right.
And that's one of the ways for judicious use of social media for young people. I mean, they can talk to people in their jobs around the world, and some of them, you know, out in space. So it's a wonder, but the wonder happens for those who are ready to say,
right.
Let's find this out. You
right.
know, I see two different kinds of young people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sad to say that the majority of them are what I call the Cardo people. And you say, oh, let's talk about your future. And they look backwards. and you know, they don't want it. And then there are those that are saying, yeah, I want to find it.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there. I want to meet it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think part of the work that adults have is to help more young people say,
exactly.
you know, this taking care responsibility for yourself, you know, it's not such a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, let's go. Let's see how you can do it and really enjoy your life.
When you think about today's job market, what is your assessment of the job market? Strong, weak, where is it? Are there particular areas of the country that the market is better? Just what's your reading on that?
Oh, that's been one of the interesting changes is that geography has
mm-hmm.
come up as a real dark horse, shall we say, that's very much nose-to-nose with the skills. What can you do? The coast, so from New York City on down to the tip of Florida, and then sort of jumps over and leads to Texas, and then little Colorado, Chicago, the Dakotas, of course, and then back along the West Coast. This is where you have everything needed to generate jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You have young educated workforce. You have venture capitalists. You have population that has demands that are changing and need new services and products. So this is where young people need to look. On the other hand, I'd say about a third of the young people I talk with do not want to live 20 miles away from where they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're job market is going to be right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard too many horror stories about people going away, preparing for something, coming back to where they want to live, and nobody hires for that there.
Right.
You know, there was no prior research.
Mm-hmm. What about the individual who says, I have no skills, I have no interest? You know, and there are a lot of young folks who feel that way, okay? What do
I
you
know,
do?
Yeah, I know they feel that way. And this is why using the parachute method of decision-making for job and career choice is just so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get past that, and I say, how'd you get here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or their teacher or their group leader says, well, tell me something you did and you felt, hey, that was all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just kind of work people into it. And suddenly they see that the things that they think everybody is good at, they have it, but
mm-hmm.
a lot of people don't. So you start opening people's eyes to what's really a skill. When there's three different kinds of skills, transferable skills are, in fact, one of the more important because they're much harder to learn. You either have them or you don't. They're a lot like personality traits, your character. What everyone thinks of skills are actually often knowledges or specific work content skills to a particular job. And those are learnable by anybody who has both the ability and the interest in learning them.
Yeah. They just have to be open to doing that and recognizing that those skills are there and that they do have skills. And that's
right.
The key.
I have to tell you, I had a young Indian woman. This was a long time ago. Well, it was so long ago that this was when there was still circuit board work being done in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But she had worked, one of her hobbies was beading. And, of course, we always encourage people once they kind of get an idea what they wanted, and she wanted to work for a very large electronics firm, Hewlett-Packard. Mm-hmm. And so she said, look, I know I can do this because I need. And it's really just as complicated and in some ways no different. And, you know, so she was able to take some part of both her enthusiasm and her skill and relate that in an interview. And this is one of the things that often young people, they don't know enough about what they love, what they're good at, to really stand out in any kind of an interview. So that's why for young people, this job shadowing, talking with people, building up their board of directors, really having real life experiences in the industry or field they hope to go into, this is what most young people need.
Well, one thing in your book, well, a couple things that I thought were very beneficial is I like the parachute tips and the discovery exercises. Would you share some of those with my listening audience? Because I thought that they were very helpful. Some of the parachute tips.
Well, of course, all of the discovery exercises in the first three chapters are to help someone fill out what we call their parachute. And it is simply a diagram that takes all the relevant categories and helps you organize the information in them. Mm-hmm. Because when we want to talk with other people about what we're good at, we need to know, well, what am I best at, and then what's my next best skill. Most jobs happen around 5 to 7 skill sets. We want 3/4 of the job applicant's skill sets to match, because we know that not only can they do the job, but they're going to be happy there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And your parachute tips. Talk about those, please.
Well, the categories come from my experience and also from the original What Colors Your Parachute. Richard Bowles drew some circles, and very early in his doing training, somebody put a stem on it, and, you know, that was it. It was called the flower. I was asked to write a book that had parachute in the title, and I said, well, that's such a great sectional graphic. Let's use it to organize. But what those categories are have been tested, and it's found out that the people who are the most successful at getting hired to do what they want to do know that about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But what's also fascinating is that this category of information, these 7 things on the parachute, this is what employers expect you to be able to explain about yourself. You know, the narrative between what I am interested in, what my training and experience is, and the job you have open here that I could do in a way that you will be very happy with me as an employee. Mm-hmm. This is called the narrative, the story. And everybody who wants to convince someone to hire them needs to know that story.
Well, one area that I know you'll just scream is the whole idea of the ideal and realistic, okay, salary. How do you...
Yeah.
I figured you would just go, what? Because so many young folks don't have a realistic viewpoint when it comes to salary.
And
yeah, go right ahead.
There are parenting issues that make a career counselor's life easier or more But there are some wonderful programs like Jumpstart Reality has a budgeting. There are some wonderful, wonderful career websites that community colleges in different states have put together. And these often have a budgeting reality check. But it's not the kind that you think, you know, they just lightly quiz people on lifestyle. Well, do you think you spend this much on your cell phone? And how much would, and then they say, okay, and you need to have a job that earns X.
Mm-hmm.
Well, X for a lot of young people is like $90,000, $100,000. Well, those jobs are few and far between these days. And most people don't follow into them. How do you do it? I mean, it's so minuscule that let's not talk about it.
Right. Yes.
Right. I mean, what we know is you have a plan, you're prepared for the obstacles, you've got your plan B, and people keep moving forward. They know that people who enter higher education with plans that associate why they are studying with their future, these people graduate in greater numbers than those who just are sort of there for the experience because someone told them they should go.
Networking you identified as being important, and I think it's something that high school students and college students can benefit from. Would you address networking?
What we know is that people who are successful at finding work when they've lost it, people who are successful at not always rising, you know, rise, but they keep the experience. They say, okay, next time I change jobs, I want that. The people who are successful network.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us who are consultants are unemployed any time that someone isn't sitting in front of us or we're not working on a project. And so we have to network. And it doesn't matter if that's, quote, not my personality style.
Right.
We do it so we find work. That's true everywhere.
Okay. Well, just hold your thoughts. We'll come back to it if you have some more you want to add on networking. You're tuned to 411 Teen. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily. What's the 411? Carol Kristen is a career strategist who has worked extensively with teenagers and young adults. She joins 411 Teen this hour. Carol, I had to interrupt you. I mean, I didn't know if you had anything else you wanted to add about networking.
Yes. And I was really glad to hear you use the word network.
Mm-hmm.
Because networking seems to have gotten people confused as to what am I doing here? But when you remind people, you are building a network
mm-hmm.
of people who either know you and can vouch for you or who do what you want to do and they can tell you about job openings. And I think sometimes we don't take enough opportunity with young people to show that, give them a piece of newsprint that's 2x7 and let them build out their own network. And I think at that point, they start saying, who do I know on my block? Who do I know
mm-hmm.
from Cub Scouts? Who do I know from my religious affiliation? And so who are my grandparents, my aunts and uncles? And suddenly they see that this is a real thing. Somebody isn't just shining me on.
Right. This is a real basic one. What advice would you give to young folks and teens who are out in the job market about the message on their voicemail? Because sometimes you'll call and they'll, hey, what's up? Yo.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah.
That's what I meant.
There's a whole chapter on media, and a cell phone is media.
Mm-hmm.
A cell phone is often someone's first introduction to you. And I actually give there that you have to have a professional greeting, and I give examples of professional and unprofessional. And yo, stop! Even if the beep is not professional.
Yes, that's what I wanted to hear you say, because I think we see that so much, okay? And they don't think about it. They don't realize, you know, when you give that number out, and it's not just your friends calling, now you're looking for a job. And so a potential employer will be calling. So that's the point that I was trying to make.
Yeah. And not only do you turn off an employer, and these days your supervisors can be fairly young, mm-hmm. but they're also very savvy. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't impress them with your online media footprint and that you are more interested in being with them and learning, then, I mean, turning up. Employers, and no matter where, and I've been talking to employers across the states, especially in the small businesses, they are just tearing their hair out because mm-hmm. someone comes on strong, stays for 2 weeks, and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so showing up, in terms of work, it isn't 80%. It's 100%.
Right. Yes. Yes. Business cards. Do you feel that they are helpful and should young folks invest in them?
Yes. Okay. And I really recommend them because you can just say, you can use them for so much. You can use them for giving someone a way to contact you. If you keep the reverse blank, you can say, article on osmosis, please mm-hmm. email. Mm-hmm. You know, you can remind the person what you've asked them to do. And you know that too. You get their card and write on it what you want to get from them. But very good. And the other thing, what can be on it? Well, certainly a young person's hall and code should be on it. Mm-hmm. Certainly a way to get in touch with them, either email or phone number. Some parents would prefer that initial screening happen with their young person through the email process. I have no problem with that. But there's a lot of ways that we can use that card. My field is drones. What do you know? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's so many little pieces of information that we can put on a business card as a young person that can help us find more information and more opportunity.
I'm glad to hear you say that. As we look, and we're talking about conveying information and utilizing various things around us, what is the most effective way to, in your opinion, to utilize social media? I know you talk about social media in the book.
It really helps to know what social media sites one wants. For mm-hmm. example, if young people are considering applying to any sort of higher education, their social media will be checked. And you then want your social media to reflect what it is that you're trying to accomplish. So
exactly.
You then want, you know, say you are interested in becoming a history teacher, then on your social media site you would have different, perhaps, programs that you've participated in that are special. You would have your AP classes. You would have the times that you have maybe taken and prepared a history unit for the third graders, the fourth graders, the fifth graders. So the social media should be a way for potential people on scholarship committees or admissions mm-hmm. committees or hiring committees to begin to know who you are and what you stand for.
How important are cover letters?
Almost not at all.
Okay.
when you're talking about cover letters, you're talking about a very narrow section of what's actually available. 15% of our businesses in this country have human resource department. That means they're large enough to have a human resource mm-hmm. department. 99.3% of people are employed by, quote, small businesses. Now, small business is the definition of is 500 or less. Okay. But when you look at most small businesses, they're actually 20 or less. When you talk about cover letters, you talk about you're not, you don't know who the hiring decision maker is, and you are not addressing them. Therefore, the chances of you even getting an interview are slim, none, and doubtful, mm-hmm. unless you've got the right internships and you are able to make an impression with your resume, which most young people do not know how to do.
In creating a portfolio, what are the crucial components that need to be included in a portfolio?
It's kind of a double track, as mm-hmm. a matter of fact. Young people who have not worked, but really want to be able to say, you know, I earned an extra over what I spent, $200 a summer, and I now have this little $975 mm-hmm. deposit that I'm going to be able to get books out of, or fees for special classes, or that sort of thing. So I think your portfolio needs to build you in terms of your people who can say, I know this young man or this young woman, they are sterling, they show up, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then you also need to put in there things that you either participated in or you were attracted to go and observe that or whatever. So it needs to be about your studies, it needs to be about your extracurricular activities, and it needs to start laying a base for your transitioning into the world of work.
What about, let's look at, because I know you get this question all the time. It's a major question, the interview. So you've gotten to a point where you almost, you think you got your foot in the door. At least you have an interview. Will you talk to the listening audience about interviews, job interviews? The attire, particularly, yes. You know, for teens and young folks, they need yes. to understand.
You better go in there looking like you already work there one notch up, mm-hmm. okay? Because nobody has any, they're not going to take a young person by the hand and say, that's not professional, okay? They're just going to have a reason that, oh, gee, you know, we hired more than we actually need, so we won't be seeing you after Friday, okay? Attire is really important, and I'm not just talking about suits and ties and do you have, you know, are your clothes clean? This is important, mm-hmm. But I'm talking about, are they appropriate for the industry? Are they appropriate for your age and trying to say, this is about business, it's not about me? You know, so there's so many signals that come out of clothing that a young person needs to look it up. And, you know, I've taken young people into, say, a courthouse square or a very popular area where people come out to eat their lunch, and we just look at them and we talk about them. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to be a bicycle messenger, you're not going to dress the same way as if you were going to be a TV on camera for PBS.
Right. What about, as we talk about signals, what about tattoos? And the spiked hair, and orange, and purple.
Okay. You know, what's really...
Because, you know, we're talking about young folks now. You know that.
Yes,
we're talking about young folks. And, I mean, that
young folks.
It needs to be addressed.
It all depends on, do they have to take it when they get you, or do they have a choice? And I want to explain this. I have seen some amazing cats on people who you and I would squeak. We go, that person is an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
That person is a doctor. No, it just, I'm 66 years old, and bikers had tattoos when I was a kid, mm-hmm. you know, or guys out of the service. But it was looked at the same way. Okay. Moving on to the 21st century, it all depends. Okay. If you are on, you know, the bottom rung and really trying to hold on, and you're coming across as pretty desperate, and there you are, you know, with your tattoos, you know, free flying, people are going to say, you've got $10,000 in your body. Did it ever occur to you that you might need that money someday? Okay? So that's one side of it. So if you've got tats, keep them covered during as your job search and even information gathering process, because, you know, tattoos I find like cilantro. People either love them and give you leeway, or they hate them and they make very immediate decisions about them.
Okay. In these last few minutes, a couple of things. Thank you notes, are they passe?
Never. Okay. Never. Any of us, never. None of us ever get enough thank you for often what we put out there in the world. And so when someone writes a thank you note saying, you made a difference, you gave me time, I appreciated this particular bit of information, thank you for giving me Jeremy Rippon's, you know, number, I've had a talk with him, we're going to blah, blah, you know. Anytime we give someone something that's as valuable as career information, yes, we should be thanked. We've given them time for an interview, yes, we should be thanked.
What's the best,
you know,
I was going to say, what's the best medium?
Yeah.
I mean, should it be on, should it be an email? Should it be
email?
Okay.
Yeah. If you want to follow up with something, snail mail, fine. But what we know is people, if it doesn't happen in 36 hours, it's an afterthought rather than protocol.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's one of the nice things about email. We can do it immediately. And there are some amazing cards, electronic cards, no cards. That are classy and come, or you can put together something that's very typical of the industry, but do it immediately. And in fact, probably have it designed and addressed, and then you fill it in when you get back, because that immediacy gets your name under their nose one more time, but also someone has thanked them.
Okay.
And that, whether or not they hire you, they look upon you with favor.
I just got an email from a parent who wanted me to ask you, not all interests are sustainable. What advice do you offer for parents who have young folks who have interests that they know really are not sustainable?
One of the interesting, it's just the most fabulous, it's like winning a jackpot at, you know, every time you this happens, because most people don't know all the variety of jobs which may give them not only a sustainable income, but great joy to do. I mean, people just, there's 30,000 different jobs happening in the United States right now. So a paucity of jobs is not our problem. Knowing which ones fit you well, will support you, keep your interest, allow you to get some good experience and save some money to either go back to school or maybe travel, because travel is really educational. All of these things are possible, but not for people who aren't willing to take any time and create a plan.
In this last minute, any resources in addition to your book that you would suggest?
Oh, there's a ton, but I'll just be brief. One of the things you say about resources, in the interest of using less paper, there are no resources in the new chapter. All of those will be on the website.
Okay.
The website, which is still under construction. But two reasons, didn't want to take up the space, and also resources can change so quickly, as we know, that it's just easier to have links rather than anything published. Having said that, www.cacareerzone.org is fabulous.
Okay.
CA Career Cafe.
To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollifield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team Podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.